He's got an operation, God does, to trump the devil. He said we're supposed to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You'd have to be as wise as Him to know it was Him that was trying to shut you down. And the thing about deception is you don't know, you're shut down. It's no longer deception is when you realize it. It's deception. It's no longer deception. And most people think they're really okay until they start waking up. Ephesians talks about waking up. There's really only one that'll wake you up, and that's the Holy Spirit. And we're on a collision course with revival. And I... Let me see, give you a king, I adjure you. I encourage, it means encourage you. Give it all you've got. Right now, begin to anticipate. If I'm not really big on New Year's resolutions, because things by the flesh usually just by January 2 or 3, they're gone. But anything that is resolved in the Spirit, it has the capacity to change your life. Determine to get to know Him beyond all cost. And anything and everything that He could possibly throw in your path or still existing in your path. Well, Pastor, I've really sought Him in this last year. I think I need a little vacation. I've really pressed in and days. Let me tell you something, please. When He said He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, He was describing a place that you and I do not have the human capacity to realize how wonderful He really is. See, you haven't been. I can tell you this. I don't care where you've come from or who you've been around, you haven't been in the best service ever. There hasn't been one yet. You haven't been in the best, the presence, whatever presence you've ever went to, you haven't been in the best ever yet. The best ever is still in front of us. It's still in front of us, the capacity to know Him beyond anything that we've ever known. What, beyond any service, beyond any revival, beyond any conference, beyond any man on the planet that you could identify with, that man knows, that woman knows. No. Listen, there's a place that He wants to give the church in these last days that He's absolutely, if God could do this, He's begging, please, know that you have not exhausted your capacity, and by no means have you exhausted my capacity to take you to a place of glory, to where that you have the fullness of God. Hallelujah. See, really, most of it begins in willful want to. It really does. But then again, you can't willfully want to until you see the value in it. This is where the enemy blocks. See, if you see the value in Him, you'll do anything to go where He's at. You'll trade off your weaknesses through hours of prayer. You'll do any, if you get a glimpse of who He is. And it's not that we don't all love Him. It's just that life impedes and impairs the vision of how valuable getting to know Him really is. Let's see. If I told you, let's see if I come up with something like, I swear, I promise to you, that in this acre next door, see, I'm looking at you to my left, to your right. There's probably an acre field out there at least. This land, this church sits on about 3. So that's a good acre field at least. If I swore to you, if I said I can tell you this, a foot underneath the ground, I know that there is buried $1 million. And we're going to go look for it tonight. I can promise you that every single one of you, even if we swore an allegiance and said, okay, we're going to all split it. We'll split it. There's not even 50 people here. If you're listening to us, we're not a big church. But if all the adults said, okay, if there was 50 of us, we split it every... If whoever found it, split it with the rest of us. That's 20 grand each on a million. So that's more. I guarantee you, it wouldn't be nothing for you. I'll tell you, if you don't want your part, let me have it. Because between now and the sun coming up, I'll go get me a spade. That's a shovel. I'll get me some duct tape and duct tape that flashlight to that shovel. And the best way to do it would be all of us get abreast, shoulder to shoulder, and just, instead of running around like a bunch of ants, just march towards the road. 1 foot at a time, 1 foot at a time, 1 foot. But between now and morning, we'd find that $1 million. Do you think 8 hours of your time would be worth $1 million? And I guarantee you, every one of you do it. Oh, I don't know. I've got more. You lying thing, you. You'd do it. You'd get your kids out there. If I said the only thing you can't have, you can just have a break to go to the bathroom and get a drink of water, that wouldn't be nothing for you. You'd sleep all the next day with 25, 30 grand in your pocket. Sleep good. Why? Because the value of that. What keeps us from giving Him all the time necessary on a daily basis to change us to where He wants us to go is because we can't hardly see. We think that what we're doing presently, we don't say this, but we think what we're doing presently is more valuable to our future and to our day than spending that hour with Him. And so He usually gets the leftovers of everything. When in all reality, if you realized in His presence, there's something so valuable, not just you getting to know Him, but the profitability of what you'll mean to the rest of the earth, you would give Him the forefront of everything that you are. You really would. It's the value. What makes a young girl stay trim and a young guy looking, he won't. You can even find an older guy, fall in love. He'll lose 25, 30 pounds. Because he's after something. It's just human nature. He don't know why he's not hungry anymore. Brother, that ain't the Holy Ghost. That's something you value. You found that pretty thing. You want her. It's true. It's what you value you'll go after. And when you see Him, see, here's what Satan has. Here's where he's so wise. He'll keep us. He keeps the cataracts. It's that cataract over our eyes that we can't see His. But once you, oh God, once you see His value, you'll say, oh my God. Oh my God, what have I been trading my hours for? And yes, I'm a mommy. Yes, I'm a daddy. Yes, I'm a... But other things in life, people get to the point they want it so much they'll steal for it. They'll do illegal things for it. When you get to the place that you'll almost do something contemptible to spend time with Jesus, I can tell you the fullness of everything He is. You're not going to find... I'm not getting on to you. I'm encouraging you. Let me tell you this. You're not going to find Jesus under a rock. What do you mean? You're not going to find Him incidentally. Accidentally. Wow, He just came on me. I wasn't seeking Him, and He just sovereignly came on me. No, David said, He said, seek my face. And I said, as a back to Him, Thy face will I seek. You say, come to me. I say, yes, I will. What do I need to do? What do you require of me? And I can tell you this, whatever He requires of you, you can do. You can do. He's not going to ask. You're working a full-time job. He's not going to ask 8-10 hours a day for you. He's not going to ask what you cannot do. But if you do what He asks you to do, you'll go to the same place that any apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, or evangelist ever goes to, because you'll get rewarded in presence on the same basis that any man who has that time to spend. But it's all value. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't mean to go there so much, but it's all hunger, really. He's really close to God. She's really close to God. You know why? Because they want to be. He didn't come get them. They went and found Him. They're really walking in peace. You know why they're walking in peace? Because they found peace. The Word says, seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. You get what you want. Why don't you turn with me to Ephesians? And I think I'll just kind of go out on a limb and let you know that I can really sense in my spirit that He is not being He. The Holy Spirit is not through with us really tearing into Ephesians. So continue, please, in the days ahead to listen to the Holy Spirit and meditate strong in the book of Ephesians, those six chapters. I've just felt this in the last few days. And I'm just letting you know what I'm hearing. Hallelujah. Is that fair enough? Continue to meditate, I believe. Besides for what He's saying to you, and I think that it will continue to coincide. Hallelujah. So I turn to Ephesians chapter 3. You heard me quoting a verse that has been in my spirit all day in meditation and in prayer and tongues and throughout worship. And hallelujah. We've been here, it's familiar, but He just wants to bring out the flavor of it, the fervency of it all the more. Would you stretch your faith this way? Father, I thank You. I thank You because I can sense and know and feel Your anointing. And I bless them as they bless me. I thank You for them. Help us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank You. Thank You for what we're looking at, what we're seeing the possibilities of. So let us all the more press into that which we see. Father, I receive Your grace. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. This Saturday night will be a watch night service. We'll start about 8:30, 9 o'clock. That's roughly speaking, because it doesn't matter. The first part will be fellowship anyway. Bring something wonderful and sweet beside yourself. And if you cook something like a prime rib sandwich and you have to talk to your pastor outside or in his office or something like that, or ribeye about an inch and a half thick, medium rare, well, any of that, okay, no. Hallelujah. So we will have communion, and we won't have Sunday service, so that will be our weekend service for all of us. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Let's begin in just before Paul's prayer here and read what we've read several times and begin to contemplate these things going forward. Friday nights we say we make a confession, and our confession is strong over this city, and we're believing God for, before it's all said and done, a tremendous outpouring. What we cannot see right now is the end of it. We can't see the changes that will take place in our life. I know it's going to take, if, and I say that in a positive sense, if those changes take place, and they will, then it's dramatic. The Lord is preparing us right now. Part of our mortification is, what do we do in the days of success? And I'm talking about in handling the multitudes. What will you do as leaders? How are you preparing your life now? What do you need? What does your lifestyle need? It's not going to be less than, it'll be more than if you listen to God and follow Him. I understand that as the masses grow, and the works that He did will do also, there'll be so our life will not even resemble. These are the wonderful times where a quaint little family has come together, and I love you more than words can say. And in the future, I will love you even more. But changes will take place that we can't even imagine. If the multitudes, if what Gay is saying and we repeat back and what all of us have said, even if you're not here on Friday nights, this is not a commercial for Friday nights, it's simply saying that what we're attesting to in the Spirit to receive a great outpouring, if it does come, and it will come, then our lives are going to be drastically changed. If thousands are born again, they can't be born again in this forum, this place, but it will be a seedbed. And the miracles will be worked. And God is trying to do everything He can right now for you, the ones that will pray it in, so that you die enough, so that you are so hedged in and protected in the revival. There's so many different things that we don't understand about it, and it's not the reason why it hasn't come. It's not so much Him, Satan. He fights us. He fights our finances. He fights the crowd. Sometimes the crowd looks like, you know, Dave told me he's walked out recently and just burst out in laughter. Burst out in laughter. And he wasn't being facetious. He said it's funny watching the size of the crowd at times. And the fight that the enemy's putting against people's lives. But that fight won't always continue. Many of you will break through into places where you'll be entrusted with the true riches, and the true riches are people's lives. Now, at that time, you'll be what Paul said, I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. But the beautiful part about God is He loves us, the ones that are praying it in, as much as He loves the multitudes. So anything in us, like bickering, backbiting, getting mad too easy, talking too much, any of the things that when the anointing goes from where it's at to where it's going to go. See, I want to get all those things straightened out in me now. Praise God. I know I can tell you by the Father that the biggest reason why we haven't had revival is His loving kindness and His tender mercies. Because He loves Bronk Flint and He loves all of you intercessors as much as He loves the people that are going to see. There'll come a day, Kenny and I can't live here. I mean, we couldn't live here anyway because we got to go. But you can't live on the property where thousands are being born again. You couldn't sleep at night. We'll obviously have to go someplace where there's some seclusion. Because when there's thousands being born again, I mean, Candy says, well, I just love it here. Oh, I do too. It's the most convenient thing in the world. I get to walk across here every morning and pray. There's not a lot. But what about when there's hundreds being born again? Thousands. They'll be knocking on your door all through the night. You couldn't have a private moment. Your lives will change dramatically. But it's not even all that that God is setting us up for. What He is setting us up for is that when the anointing falls and they're being born again by the thousands, is that the steel in us, the temperament in us, is so strong that it can take persecution and it will not crumble. What we're facing right now is mostly trials and afflictions. That's things against your emotions, and all of us face those. Discouragements, all those kinds of things that are coming against you in your family. A little bit of bickering here, a little bit of this and that. But that is not the hardcore persecution that the church will take in the last days. This is coming to us as individuals walking in against principalities and powers. And so those demonic forces will come. And they carry, some of them carry quite a, if you get a strong man, A strong man is, I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit as I go, I'm not rambling, I'm listening. The strong man's not the guy that falls on the carpet and spits and sputters and makes growling noises. That's a lower class of devils. A strong man is something that sets up a dominion. If those ranking orders come to your house, they can, if you're not ready, they can cause quite a chaos until you put your foot down and say, wait a minute, you're not going to cause tonight what you caused last night. And this is quite a deal here, because they carry quite a... Those are all trials and afflictions. Persecution, as the first church knew it, was something that came from the devil by an outside force, the world. Now, you're not going to get thousands being born again that the world is not going to, in the days to come, persecute us. And I'm not talking about, I mean, it could come to physical persecution, but are you ready to go to a place where what you're doing is maligned and lied about, and you're lied about, and you're persecuted, and family members turn away from you and say, well, most of my family doesn't like me anyway right now anyway, so that's not a big deal. That's persecution for Christ's sake. But guess what he says? He says, happy are ye when you're persecuted for my name's sake. Hallelujah. So revival is coming, and the Father is giving us a wonderful... It's not an intermission. We're steadily going forward, but he's tempering us. The praying in tongues is mortifying us so that we are as strong and stronger than any devils that will come. We'll be generals. We will have the character to withstand whatever devils come in the revival. And how, I hope none of you thought that when the revival hits, the devil loses our address. But we get happier under persecution. Let me read some scripture here to you. He says in verse 13, Paul is talking about his own tribulation. He says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you may be rooted and grounded in agape, in love, that you may be able to comprehend. Now, this is what it's all talking about. And if there's anything I want you to comprehend, it's what he's saying is what we need to comprehend. Because this whole subject matter is the love of God. That you would be able to comprehend with all saints, all of us collectively that are going forward, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what? His love. In other words, he's praying for the church that they would come into a comprehensible revelation of his love. And when he's talking about a revelation, he's not talking about that you get it. Oh, I get it. No. He's talking about you get it to where that it conforms, the revelation that you get conforms you on the inside. And it so conforms you that you're a living epistle. You're a living example. You live the revelation. It's one thing to get it, like I said a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago. A lot of times I'll get the revelation by reading the meditation. I'll get the revelation, but it takes me a good while to be conformed to that revelation. In fact, there's a lot of revelation that I've got that I'm still being conformed to. Just because you get the revelation doesn't mean you're conformed to the revelation. You got to conform. It takes dying to conform to the revelation. And here's the revelation of the fullness of God. How do I know that? Because it says in verse 19 that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. In other words, you can't get it yourself. It passes knowledge. And if you would know it, or if you could know it, or if you could come into this incomprehensible love, the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, all of this, then he says that you would be filled, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. This is everything. This is the whole, if you want to say it, the whole enchilada. The people want to section God off. They want to say, well, here's my study in life. Here's what I love. I love Old Testament typology. Wonderful. I love this. I love that. I love that. But listen, you want the fullness of everything He is? You want the capacity to walk into children's hospitals and bring an atmosphere with you that the doubting parents who do not believe, because there's no way, they have never seen anybody have the capacity to cause their child to change. They've had a lot of Christians encourage them. They've had maybe some well-meaning, Spirit-filled Christians encourage them. But they do not believe that Jesus is really going to change and cause the terminal illness of cancer in that child's body to change from night to day, because they've never seen it. And the atmosphere that He's asking us to come to is an atmosphere that goes not only in us, but it goes in front of us. It's there when we walk in. So strong that it's already beginning to be contagious to the doctors and contagious to the nurses and contagious mostly to those parents who say, I'll step back if you want to see what you can do. Now that's the fullness of God. It sounds fantastic because I don't know an operation like it on planet Earth. I know we get good reports. We saw some wonderful things take place when Pastor Dave was here. The level of miracles stepped up, obviously. My sister, who, Houston's mother, very active lady, and who was incapacitated for months, could not move, hardly at all, around her house. And then in the last, since those meetings, was able to take a three-day vacation with her grandson and walk around Disney World for 3 days. And that was impossible just months earlier or a month earlier. That's a notable miracle. That's a notable miracle. But that's still not the blind eyes. That's still not the deaf, the dumb consistently. That's still not those incredible, you know, those incredible miracles. That's still not emptying out hospitals where there's 20 or 30, 40 or 50 just at your presence going in. This is for all of us. He said this fullness comes by this love. It does. It comes by the love, the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now what He is saying, let me tell you what He is not saying. I've said this before. If you meditate this, you understand, and we go through it with a progression. He is not saying something fantastic like when you quote this verse like, oh, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could. Oh, I can think. I'm a real imaginative person. Man, let's see, I could fly to Mars 3 times, come back, be the king of the world. God can make me all this. God could. Those are. Infantile, not being mean, they're immature thought processes. He's not saying by this scripture, oh, any big thing that you could imagine, God's able to do. That is maybe the fruit of it. The root of it has everything to do with this revelation that He's saying that God wants you to have. Because if you have it, if you really have it and you're conformed to it, then you get the fullness of God. But He's saying here in this, because He said earlier, it's incomprehensible. Oh, but God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could. You're limited by your asking.
You're limited by your thinking. The revelation, you can't see it yet. And somebody says, well, no, I can just ask big. Okay, give me all your love. That's not what he's talking about. That's not in faith because it's built line on line. You have to see it. You have to believe it. You have to be able to step into it line on line. And he's saying, you're limited. You're totally limited. But he says, there's one that can bring the power to you, that can take you out of the box that you live in and cause you to be able to believe God for something so far beyond you that has the capacity to bring you into the fullness of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Now I'm going to get extremely carnal with you for just a moment. This is my phone. Okay? Let me put forth some very noteworthy disclaimers for just a moment. I what I say about this phone, I am not endorsing Apple computers. I'm not trying to act like I know something. If I talk very long, you'll know that I don't know anything. So I'm prefacing what I'm about to say that I'm a novice. But it would be false humility to say that I don't know anything. For a number of years, I've had a PC, and we have wireless internet, and I can sit in my front room and pretty much do whatever I want to do, as far as on the internet or send e-messages, this, that, and the other. So I'm not just knowing nothing. But a few months ago, or I'd say about a month and a half ago, Candy and I decided. And it was through much really prayer and asking a lot of questions. What should we do? Because we had flip phones. And another thing, too, I should preface, if you still have a flip phone, you're fine. Hallelujah. You're not. This doesn't make me more in God. Okay. Somebody's going to go, hey. But a flip phone, we had never had a smartphone. This is the iPhone 4S. And this is the top of the top right now for just a little while, just for a little while. I was convinced praying about it and asking people. Gary Carpenter was kind of, he helped me. He talked about the one that he's got. I don't think he has this model. He may right now. I'm not sure where he's went. Probably my son-in-law had a lot to do with it. He's a techno whiz. Because he's not only a fireman, he has a business it's a radio business, and he deals in electronics a lot. So listening and talking to him, that was probably part of it. So we went down, and Kenny and I both purchased one each for us. This one has it's called an OtterBox. It's got Realtree camo on the back. Yes, and it's got my orange, which is one of the colors of my favorite college team, so that identifies mine from her. Okay, that's your point. It identifies mine from her pink phone. So, but going from a flip phone to this phone was like stepping from Stone Age to Space Age. And like I said, believe me, this is going to change real quick. It already has. I already see in the commercials, like, that was so 30 seconds ago. you got these teenagers like, oh, did you hear about blah, blah, blah? Yeah, that was so 45 seconds ago. We baked a cake, sent an email, did blah, blah, blah. We had a party by the time you got your email. My son-in-law, as soon as I got this about 6 weeks ago, he goes, let me take my phone, boom, 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 boom. Look, this is the one I'm going to get. So I'm looking at it, and when he gets eligible the next time, he comes up. So they got the next one that's coming out. I'm not sure just how soon. I guess it's the next one. It has all of this plus, and it's got a hologram. You know what a hologram is? It's like a lighted picture that it's like it's there, but it's not. And you just set it up and the hologram comes up and a keyboard, like if I was to set this thing up, it would project like a hologram in front of me. I don't know if I need a wall for it or not. I can't remember the picture. We had company in that day. And a hologram keyboard comes down here, and it matches wherever your finger size is or whatever, and you can just type, and there's nothing there but air. It's a hologram. And that's the next one past this, and this right here will be like Stone Age, blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to really be carnal now. Show you what I don't know.
Most of you already know this, okay? Now, this really is going someplace, and it's Ephesians 3, 19 and 20. I don't have a lot of apps, and I'm sure most of these young guys could tear me up. Not him, he says. Yesterday, I took a man hunting that I didn't know so much, but it was a request by somebody else, a real nice guy. And he's a president, president / vice president of a large corporation. We were riding to this place with another person well before daylight, and I could tell he was a well-read person, and I think he had one of these. And it was funny, all the different things, and I'm going to tell you just for a moment what these things are able to do. And I got to the gate that I was supposed to go into this piece of property, and I knew it's a keypad, electronic keypad, and I couldn't see the electronic keypad, so, you know, I just touched my screen, and it lights up, and I was like, okay, I can see, blah, 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 and the gate opens up for us. And he very politely told me, you know, there's a app that you can put on there that makes, you know, the flash for your camera a flashlight. And I said, wow, that's pretty cool. So he showed it to me, and it was like blinded my eyes. Candy got it today because I told her she stole it. And then he's telling me, he's a pretty humble guy, but he was telling me what he knows because he reads all this stuff. And I can tell that he travels, and he's probably in and out of airports. And he probably reads all these books maybe on his travels. I don't know. I didn't ask him that. But I do know he reads a lot, and he reads books, and he was telling me about different things. And he goes, you know, and there's another app that you can put on there that you can run the SKU bar, like on your merchandise. Like if you're at Walmart and you want to check out how much that is, you can run it, and it will tell you how much it is, and it will tell you also where you can find it cheaper. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty amazing. I bet Candy gets one of those tomorrow. It's like, oh my God. But he said, do you know what he gave me the author's name. I didn't put it to memory. But this part I did. He said, what is fueling the technology to go? And you know, the technology is this: the faster it goes, the faster it goes. And he said, what is fueling it is the 14-year-olds. And he meant that. He may have read that part by this author, but it wasn't per se 14, but it was in that age group. He said they're the ones that are wanting more and more and more and more. And he said the premise of this guy that says, he said the reason why that they are so much, they have so much more the aptitude than your average adult or your later age adult is because their minds can't conceive, are not bound by limitations. They take what is there and they just keep building on it. He said that the premise of this author was the reason why there's so much. I mean, my little granddaughter's been on our computer all day, but the amazing part was our 4-year-old was in the back seat. You want to quiet a kid nowadays? You won't ever hear from them. You give them your cell phone. And because when they do, they go to those games that you put on there. I was in Outback about 2 months ago, and Candy had got up. I was waiting for the check. She either went to the restroom or was headed to the foyer. And I was watching these two women that were having a conversation, and they had three little ones. And they were quiet as a mouse. I thought, man, these kids are really good. Sure they are, because they're all sitting there. Now, I don't know if one of the mothers had an extra, but they had, like, iPhones, I guess. Maybe they were Game Boys. I don't know, but I think they were iPhones. You want to quiet a kid? Our 4-year-old never asked us from all the way from Alva to here the other night, like, Nana, I can't do this. She was doing it. And the premise of this author was this. He said, the adults are bound by limitations in their minds based on previous experiences and based on a previous understanding of how they believe things should work. And because they're preconceived, like we've always done it this way, and this is the world and the box that we've lived in, it's harder to launch out of that and say, there are no limitations. Let me take it to the next level. And because you have these 4-year-olds and then now the 15 and 16-year-olds, and it's just, you know, what did I say I was going to do? Okay, this is sounds totally unspiritual, but this is Ephesians 4, 3. So let's see. I'm just going to look at a couple of my apps or several of my apps. And a lot of you have this. And as I said, I'm not the expert. Okay, let's see. I'm scrolling here. This is my camera. I hit that. As soon as I hit that, I've got a picture of JoJo. That's Josiah. I've got 372 pictures. That's not much. Okay, I don't know how many it'll hold. Somebody may know. This is a 3G. You probably tell me how many. I don't know how many. I've got a lot of videos on here. This is a video camera. It's amazing because all the different things. I mean, you know, this, you know, I can take and let's see with my camera. Obviously, I can just hit a button real quick or just scroll this over and it turns from a camera to a video. I can also do that. And boom, now I'm looking at myself. Oh, that's ugly. I'm going to turn back around and look at you, okay? I can turn my, my flash on or off. I can scroll. I can look at all of my pictures all at once with a scroll, or I can blow them up. And it's just amazing, you know, what you can do. This is a video camera that 20 years ago, the pixels, that's all those little tiny dots that make up the clarity. The pixel capacity in this is way better than most cameras were just a few years ago. I mean, it's beautiful. It's just crisp and clean. Videos, you know, if I want to hit. If I'm out in the woods and I get bored waiting for a deer to come by, I can just hit I can hit a video and I can have like a number of movies on here. You don't want to be watching a movie when you're sitting there. Just that's not the time to do it. You should have an earpiece so the deer can't hear, you know, the Terminator say, I'll be back. And, you know, he won't be back. He's be gone. And I can get bored. You know, I can sit there and watch a movie. Messages. You know, I can any Angry Birds, anybody that's emailed me or anybody that's that I've texted lately. In fact, I very, very seldom, and I was getting good. I was finally getting good at the keyboard, and this came along, because I don't hardly ever, because I can text faster than you can, if you don't have one of these, because as fast as I can talk, it'll print it out and boom, I can send it to you. I hardly ever. I just push this in Siri. This is 4S. Siri does she types it out for me as fast as I can speak. If I can speak at whatever pace I can speak, she types it out. I check it. That's what I want to say. Boom, I send it. Isn't that pretty incredible? Okay, I'm pretty cool, aren't I? This is, my calendar. All my calendar, everything I wanted on there, I could put on there. Siri would type that out for me. Photos, I've already done that. I can tell you, boom, let's see, boom. It is 61 degrees outside. No, it's 54 degrees outside. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be in the low 50s. The high tomorrow is going to be 73. I can tell you all the way through Monday of next week what the lows and highs are going to be. Isn't that incredible? It's pretty cool. Let's see, phone, if I hit phone. I've got my favorites. I can tell anybody recent calls, contacts. I got a keypad. Like if I don't have, I've got hundreds of your numbers in here, but I can do this. Call Candy.
Sorry, I don't understand.
See, I did that too far away. But I'm riding down the road and you're not here and call Candy. Oh. Call Candy. There's too much. It's probably the echo from my Siri. I got the echo. Because when I talk to Siri, are you listening?
I'm not sure what you said.
Call Candy.
Calling Candy, mobile.
So Candy, I would be going down the road. She's going to call Candy for me. And this thing will talk. Siri will talk to you. I shouldn't say. Shit's calling you now, honey. Sorry. Oh, you know what I could do? When I call Candy, I can hit face to face. And Candy, if she's looking at it, if we're in the right place, we just sit here and talk to each other. And I can see her beautiful face and she can see mine. Isn't that amazing? Thank you for calling Candy. I don't know what she'll say.
My pleasure, as always.
My pleasure, as always. Thank you. I love you.
Oh, I bet you say that to all your Apple products.
Whoa! I bet you say that to all your Apple products. You never know what she's going to say. My God. This is Siri. Her name is Siri. Mail. I can get my email. Connecting. It just asked me if I want to go on the wireless. It's picking up the wireless next door. No, I don't want to. I've got it. I've got 7 in my inbox. This is way faster than my laptop about getting my email. This is all spam. It's GPS as well. In fact, absolutely. I can look here. I'm going to hit Google Earth. Boom. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They can find you. I just hit Google Earth, and now I'm going to hit the one dot that tells me where I'm at, any place on the planet. Okay, and I'm standing right here. It's coming in. I'm coming down on the church. I wish you could see this. And I'm going to turn this sideways. It shows me I can move. You see that? There's a little light.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking down an actual photo, a satellite picture, and I know when I walk, that satellite is following me right now. I wish you could. And when I walk down the middle of the church, I wish I could. What? Oh, yep. You see that little dot there in the middle of the church? That's our church. That is me standing there. If I keep walking to the back, you see that, Howard, that little dot?
Yeah.
Okay. If I walk over here towards Candy, that satellite will even follow me over here. Is that pretty incredible or what? That's within feet. If I'm out in the woods, yesterday I did it. I was way up off of Key Rye Road. Many of you know where that's at. And I was miles back in there. Boom. I was out in Orange Grove, and I was looking about where I was standing, right in the middle of that Orange Grove. I can look. If you're swimming in your backyard, now it's based on the day that takes the photo, I can tell you if you were in your pool or not. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Safari, boom. I can go to several search engines. I can go to Apple, Yahoo, Google. Yeah, I can text you. You're not praying. You're in your pool. Stocks, boom. That's how quick is that? The Dow, I'm looking at the Dow. It had a bad day. It dropped 139 points. The NASDAQ, 35 points. S&P dropped 15 points. That's just as quick as I can touch it. It's telling me these things. Is that pretty cool or what? That is really, really, really. Music, I mean, you can go on, watch movies. I already said that. The reason why I said that is because that's the perfect example in the natural sense. This, did not spiral, and I'm holding up this iPhone, this did not spiral from outer space a few months ago or in the last year. It did not come in on a spaceship. The Sicolium, you know, the silicone of whatever the components are that make up the brain of this and the hard plastic on the outside, all of the what makes up the hardcore basics of this phone has always been on planet Earth. It always has been. It was on planet Earth 10,000 years ago. The only thing is what caused this to come into reality is the way that men ask and the way that they think. Because think tanks, now this is exactly what Paul is saying, but just listen to me. Think tanks, people sitting around, Alexander Graham Bell, 100-something years ago when he invented the phone, he never thought in his wildest days that I'd have something that would weigh a few ounces that I could call my wife and talk face-to-face with her around the world and that I could check. He wouldn't even know what a website was. Think tanks, men and women who are geniuses coming together and saying, wait a minute, if we can do this, what about this? They ask the question, what about, okay, last year's technology, what if we did this with it? What if we did this? And they thought on it and they thought on it until it changed the reality in which they lived in. Paul is saying this. He's saying your incapacity to go forward in God, receiving an outpouring, receiving His fullness, is encapsulated, it's held in by what you conceive God to be. You're not seeing Him in the fullness. You're bound by what you believe. Your world is a reality, but there's somebody. Now see, what I saw in the Spirit, and I promise you I saw this about 2 years ago, a direct line. I saw a line go from Ephesians to Romans 8, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Hold your place there. We're not going to be much longer, but you've got to read the familiar verse of Scripture that we're always used to in Romans 8. Because he's saying the same thing. In Romans 8:26, this is what Paul said, the same author. Likewise, the Spirit, now he's talking about the Holy Spirit, also helps our incapacities, our bondages, our inabilities to go further with God. Because we're bound. See, I'm seeking God. I've never seen one of these things called a revival. I don't know what it's like to... I've been in heavenly places in my spirit, but God is saying, by this, there is so much more for all of us. Even before you get to revival, you've only touched the tip of the iceberg. But you won't go any further because something inside of you believes, like the older adult with the computer that says, I can't do this. And the little kid is like, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more. It doesn't, they don't even try to make sense of it. They just take it and utilize it. And what Paul says here in Romans 8:26, he says this. The Spirit helps our infirmities, our incapacities, our inabilities. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, or better yet, Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this is the line I saw in the Spirit. When Paul says that he is able to do abundantly, able to do exceedingly, all these adjectives, exceedingly, abundantly, above. He's trying to get something across to us. Above all that we could ask or think, according to the power. And this word power is the word dunamis. It's the same one that Jesus says in Rome, in Acts, I believe it's 1:8, where he says, the power will come upon you. And he said, Paul said in Ephesians, it's according to the power that worketh in you. And this word worketh is the word. I looked it up probably before, but I looked it up again today. It's the word that has to be active in you. It's the power that has to be. It's not graduating to a certain point and then receding and saying, I found that out and I'm going to shelf my life in Christ because I came to a place and, oh, it is sweet. It is sweet, Pastor. It is sweet, brother. He said, according to the power that worketh the present, it's the power, that word power is described by something. It's like the enzymes, they're being agitated. It's like your washer that's agitating the clothes. There's got to be something working. If that is working in you, which Romans 8:26 says, He maketh intercession for us because we don't know how to pray. In other words, we can't get to God without Him. We can't go to the next level without somebody graduating us past where we're at because we're limited by what we've seen. How many arms have you seen, Pastor, grow out? I saw the ones that were already attached grow out, but I haven't seen the ones that don't exist grow out. Well, I can sure believe it. Good. Go for it. Show me what you got. I want to see you do it. I can do it, Pastor, without fasting. I can do it without praying. It's all by grace. Let me step back. Now I'm being a little facetious. Go for it. I will follow you. In fact, I will drive you up and I will buy you a big hamburger afterwards when you go into that hospital and you empty them out. Without allowing the power to work in you to the point to where He takes you past your incapacities, your ability. Paul says we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the power that worketh in us, it has the power to graduate our faith, to graduate us in mortification. What inside of me still will just like, I don't like you, Yolanda. And I do. I love you. Yolanda's perfect. So ask David, okay? Only one. This is what Paul's saying. There's only one. It's the Holy Spirit. We can walk out of here tonight and say, you know what? Let's just have a good time from now on and let's turn this into a social club. The devil will leave us alone and we'll probably have a lot more money come in here. Some of your businesses will flourish. If we don't want to give it all we've got, then we might as well do the other. But I know that you know this. If we allow Him to work in us, the work that takes us to a place where He takes us and He says, okay, that's all you could see. Because that's the best that you know. But the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues and we continue to pray in tongues, He takes us to a vision of the love of God, that the love of God not only is something out there in front of us that I preach about or Homer preaches about or Pastor Dave or any of you mention, it becomes a reality to you. And we're able to step past and we're able to go where these simple things, these things, they can't raise the dead. They can't heal a sick heart or a sick mind. But the premise is the same. Somebody kept saying, how can we do it? How can we do it? How can we do it? We've got to reach beyond ourselves. There's something else, and I don't know what they'll do. These things will probably, you probably plug one of them in one day and it'll drive you across town. I don't know. It's crazy. But we have not yet seen where we're going. And the encouragement in all of this is give it all you've got this year. Lay it down. Lay it down and say, my God, what I'm going to give Him this year compared to what I've done in the past is by no comparison. God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't forget Saturday night. How many of you have a good time tonight? Would you please, how many of you believe that Africa, Asia, Latin America, the Arctics, North and South, Antarctic and Arctic, the islands of the sea, Australia, the land down under, New Zealand, that big land mass that's off just, I think, to the right of it, all the world, the islands of the sea, that they are being touched by God and they want to give. into this ministry. Hallelujah. Thank you for that agreement. I appreciate it. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that we set ourselves an agreement that this house is filled to capacity with the financial blessings that you have for us. Lord, I thank you because not only do we receive from these and from Immokalee, but all around the world. I bless Africa. I bless Europe. I bless the countries of Asia. I bless India. I bless the Latin American countries. I bless, Lord, the South American countries, Brazil and Peru and the different places. Let the islands of the sea, Lord, hear our voice, and may they be blessed, Lord, we pray. I pray that the different countries of the world that, Father, that there is no freedom in, I pray that your voice in us will be heard. Father, we bless now. We pray for your families, your family that is this family. Lord, bless them tonight as they give. And Father, bring us back Saturday evening to share this last part of this year together and start a new year in Christ. And this we say and bless in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. We love you. Praise God. We will see many of you Saturday night.